sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another show of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm happy to be here with you today. I am going to be looking at a subject that I know very little about today. And maybe some of you out there know more about this than I do, but this is my first exposure to what people are calling Christian sex. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if there is such a thing because I never heard of it. And for me to not hear of something in the world of sexuality, how it deals with transformation or how it deals with people's life and becoming happier, I just don't know what it is. I want to know what could be so different about it. And I also recently heard that it was really a disguise for tantric sex, but that all the tantric rituals and all the references to Tantra were taken out of it. So I don't know, and I don't know, but I think my guest today knows something about it. So my guest today is Anaya Ayan Prakash, and she has written a book called Pilgrimage to Love, A Tale of Romance, Heartbreak, and Meeting the One. She feels that this is an unstoppable force devoted to the harmony of masculine and feminine principles on earth. She's also the co-author of Womb Wisdom, Awakening the Forgotten and Creative Powers of the Feminine, and Open Your Heart to Kundalini Yoga. So, I don't know. I have no idea if Anaya is going to speak to us about Christian sex or not from those titles, but I think she is. So, that's why I've invited her to the show. So, Anaya, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you very much, Lori. It's an absolute privilege to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So we're going to just jump right in here. I want to know what is different. Are we speaking about Christian sex? Are you an authority on this?
Well, I don't know about authority, but it is something I'm very passionate about. Yeah.
Okay, good. And can you basically give me some kind of a definition of what Christian sex is, so I have something to...
Okay.
I'm not Christian, by the way. I'm not Christian. I wasn't brought up in a Christian paradigm at all.
Yeah.
So for me, when people talk to me coming from a Christian perspective, the only thing I know about is growing up Jewish in the United States and being at the effect of Christianity.
Right.
In other words, you know, I had to go, you know, whether I wanted to take off of school on Christmas or not, I had to. I knew more about Good Friday and Easter Sunday than I knew, you know, about my own holidays. And my holidays were optional. They weren't like, these days, I think in American school system, people give off the Jewish holidays as well. But I was like, you know, a weird minor person in my growing up.
Yeah.
And I had to listen to Christmas carols, and I had to go through all these jingles in the mall, and I had to do all these things, whether I wanted to or not. That's my take on Christianity.
Okay.
So,
well, where it began for me, I was born to a devout Catholic father and an atheist mother. So I was there right in the middle between the two. And what I found is I made my own inroads towards Jesus Christ. So, you know, I was reluctantly taken to church by my dad. But once I got there, there was something that was very much alive. Something that fascinated me about any sort of imagery of Jesus Christ on the cross or Mother Mary or something like that. There was an interest. There was like a spark of interest that was genuinely alive. So from my own impulse, I began to read what I could about Jesus Christ outside of the Bible. And in my early teens, I started to come across what we would know now as maybe the Mary Magdalene lineage or the more channeled writings of Jesus Christ, something, for instance, like Anna, grandmother of Jesus. And I started to read again and again this terminology called twin flame. And this was the idea, hang on, that's better. This was the idea that Jesus Christ was teaching this aspect of his teachings on the twin flame. And the twin flame is literally the other half of our soul. And in these teachings, it is clearly stated that each and every single one of us is created in twos. One half is masculine, one half is feminine. And that the journey, the great journey of life, is to actually find the other half. So this is a really sweeping statement I'm making here.
Yeah, it's enormous.
I know. Now, the thing is, yes, I have a practical side, but I also have a very scientific mind. Now, this greatly resonated inside of me.
Wait a minute. You just made an interesting statement.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a practical side, and also I'm very scientific. To me, those are the same. Do you mean? Did you mean to say yes, I have a romantic side, or yes, I have a very spiritual side,
yes,
and I also have a very scientific
side?
Okay, because that was like, well,
right.
Those are the same. So, and also, I want to go back for a second before you go into this, before you embark.
Yes.
You said Anna.
Yes.
Grandmother of Jesus. Okay,
that's
so for
right.
me, I have to just say, like, I, as I told you, I had no Christian ideology except, you know, what I've gleaned from my friends or from living in the culture. I didn't know he had a grandmother.
Well, these books are coming from a more what I'd call Gnostic teachings. So these are not books that are necessarily, you know, stamped with approval from the Christian
mm-hmm.
church. This is
okay.
more the sort of New Age channeled material.
Now, I want you to know, I read a book. I'm proud of myself now. I know something about this.
Yes.
I read a book called Jesus and the Goddess.
Okay.
That I bought when I was in London on a tour when I was teaching in London a lot.
Yes.
And when I read that, See, my father was agnostic or atheistic, and my mother wanted to bring us up Jewish, but my father won. So we didn't believe in anything, my sister and I, really. I'm actually glad for that. But when I read Jesus and the Goddess, what they talked about was Gnostics and fundamentalists.
Yes.
And they said that the Gnostics of any religion, I thought this was profound, the Gnostics of any religion have more in common than the fundamentalists have with the Gnostics in any one religion.
Mm, yeah.
So now that was profound to me.
Yes.
So now I'm starting to follow you. I don't know if everyone else is following me, but I'm following you.
Right. So, someone is.
So you're saying these are writings and teachings that
yes.
may in fact have come from Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely.
That had to do with a more, well, I mean, he didn't start Christianity, so they were saying, you know, he was like a enlightened being.
Yes.
So these came from a different segment of his enlightenment, the parts that people who became Christians in a certain way didn't choose to include this in yes. what was dished out as the religion to normal folks.
Well, that's right, because, you know, in the early Christian church, one of the first things that happens is that masculine and feminine is split, you know, coldly split apart. And if anything, the feminine quietened down, concealed, hidden.
Well,
so,
cursed.
Yes.
I just put it nicely.
Yeah,
you were putting it so nicely. curse, like the root of all evil, sin,
yes.
Eve, eating the apple, calling in Satan.
That's right. So, you know, this Gnostics teachings that's coming through now, saying we cannot do this alone. We have to come back to the twin flame. We have to find the other. You know, we are created in twos. And again, this is reflected in the Noah's Ark story. You know, two by two, they entered into the Ark.
And okay, I'm starting to follow you here because this is something I'm familiar with and, you know, like generally familiar with. So it seems like what you're saying, and, you know, I'm sort of, my curiosity is piqued now. Yeah. What you're saying is the unification of the masculine and feminine without the debasing of the feminine, actually like lifting the feminine back up.
Yes.
Sounds
absolutely
good to me.
Yeah.
Sounds really good to me.
In absolute equality and reverence.
Excellent. Well, this is a really good place for us to stop for a moment.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll speak more about what you're talking about, what your teachings are, you know, what you've gleaned from this and what others can glean from this. Certainly if they're wanting to heal themselves from the split that took place between the masculine and feminine that was foisted upon them in Christianity. So thank you for the explanation. If you're listening to Sex and Happiness, I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm speaking with Anaya Ann Prakash. And she is speaking to us today about Christianity from a different place, like Christian sex being a place that unites masculine and feminine, or what she's referring to as the twin flames. And we're going to hear more about that when we come back from break. Are you a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response? Perhaps you know a woman who could use this. Many women say that feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction do not happen as naturally as they would like. So let me tell you something about Zestra. Zestra was developed to provide a much-needed option for all women to feel more sexually satisfied. Zestra is safe. It's a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each individual packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts fresh and safe from light. Zestra starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. The initial sensations are called the Zestra Rush, and the effects tend to peak around 10 minutes and last up to 45 minutes. And here's the really good news. Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. In my opinion, all women deserve sexual satisfaction, and Zestra is a breakthrough in women attaining sexual satisfaction. Please say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show when you call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And again, say you heard about it from me, Laurie Handlers, on Sex and Happiness.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, and no unpleasant side effects. If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's H-O-R-M-O-N-E, nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too. You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and my guest today is Anaya Ayan Prakash. And we're talking about Christian sex, which, as I started the show, I said I had no idea about. It was hard for me to even get into a rant about it because I don't know anything. And so she's educating me and you about what this means, how she's discovered the Magdalene school or the Magdalene books, and how she's discovered that there's some twin flame in connecting the masculine and the feminine, actually elevating the feminine again from its debasement by various aspects of Christianity. So, Anaya, what else can you tell us about this? It sounds exciting and interesting, especially for people who want to maintain their faith, but it possibly in a new way.
Okay, well, I think one of the easiest ways into this subject is I would like to share that we have a handful of soulmate relationships first before embarking with the twin flame relationship. And the soulmate relationships, the way I see those, is they are there to kind of craft and heal and shape and refine the aspects of us that are in intimate relationship. And this is kind of like a preparation for when the soulmate actually shows up. And first of all, yes.
So you mean like people that we call in to be intimate with, and then we learn a lot of lessons from being with them.
Absolutely. And there is this absolute feeling of family or familiarity. You cannot not notice that they are a soulmate. It's so obvious. It's so warm, and there's like an excitement. There's a real, real buzz to be together. It's just so natural to be with one another. Whereas this twin flame is a little bit different. It's not necessarily completely romantic, if you get my drift. This really isn't Prince or Princess Charming.
there are
aspects of that. Of course there are profound, profound love. But first, there's usually quite a bit of work to do. And then we see in the Bible, we hear of this notion of Jesus Christ pulling seven demons out of Mary Magdalene at a very early stage in their, let's call it, relationship. So we have to ask ourselves, well, how do you think that felt? You know, so already we're
pretty
getting
painful.
A clue. Already we're getting a clue. They were not strolling by the canal, you know, drinking red wine. Already we're getting an insight into the nature of this alchemy that simply has to take place for the two soul halves to come back into oneness.
So you're talking about a process that sounds a lot like a workshop.
Much more than a workshop. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, okay, and then what happens? You know, why and how and what, like that?
My understanding is that when we were created as one, and this I feel, and this really is only intuitive feelings, this I feel was a time of a civilization that we know of as Lemuria. That is the time, I believe, when the human beings, they didn't quite have the same fleshy body as we have now, so they were more of a luminescent being or race, but we were one. So we were one soul. very naturally, a desire, an impulse came to separate into one half feminine, one half masculine. And what I feel now is that this reunification process is coming back, especially during 2011 and 2012. I really, really do feel that this meeting of the two halves is coming strong. There's like waves and waves of these soul halves meeting. I don't know if you can see that around you within your circle, like these incredible, you know, couples meeting, merging, splitting up, meeting, merging again.
Well, listen, I'm surrounded by that. I mean, I've been teaching sacred sexuality since
right.
1998.
Yes.
And so I see people leaving what was once their dream marriage.
Yes.
You know, like they're leaving their around midlife.
Yeah.
It seems like in the 40s and 50s, a lot of people that were together seem to be splitting.
Right.
And then they do go on to find other people who they merge with.
Yes.
And then they may split from that again, though. I mean, I don't, and I'm in a whole new thing that, so I still teach sacred sexuality, but in my own community,
right,
where I participate and live, we have some different ideas about things. So, yeah, there are people who merge, but we give much more value to the life,
yes,
to the life force and keeping it alive and staying alive than to the coupledom.
Yes, yeah.
So, which still doesn't deny that coming together with another person on a very, very deep level does separate out the parts of your personality or the parts of one's personality that are clearly unuseful,
yeah,
from the parts that need to be honed now.
Yes.
You know, the lessons, we just don't couch it in the same paradigm.
Yes.
But I, now that you're speaking, I'm really familiar with everything you're talking about.
Right. And
even when I came, I mean, I was just like, what could this be? And I've heard of that civilization that you talked about. I haven't read anything about it, but
yeah,
I've heard about it, and I've certainly heard about twin flames and soulmates. And I read the book Soulmates.
Right.
So what are some of the basic principles of what you're speaking about, if you could?
Well, my feeling is this. So when the soul splits, the pair of them, the two of them, know and are destined to head off in separate directions to experience two very separate tastes of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the trouble, but that is the alchemy when they come back. What I've also noticed is that one tends to be predominantly in favor or in service of love, and the other one tends to be predominantly in favor or service of what I call truth or consciousness. So when they come back together, they are so crafted in their stream of consciousness and beingness that it appears as if light and dark or white and black have just met, because they are the absolute polar opposite of each other. And again, this can be another myth. People feel that the twin flame, it's like, oh, you're just like me. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You're just like me. No. I do not feel
right.
They are going to be just like you. I feel there is going to be an essential essence that is just like you. But externally, and especially when you first meet, oh my goodness, here is your equal and opposing opposite. Because
yes,
let's look at it logically. It stands to reason that the two halves would go off in different directions to come back to then be able to share their wholeness in union.
Again, right, if they don't kill each other,
science.
I'm just trying. I'm sitting here speechless. If they don't kill each other,
yeah, exactly. Yes.
I mean, my experience with this is that I had such a person in my life.
Yep.
And often thought of killing him.
I can stand with you there. That's why
I'm the person who was in the truth. Right. I'm the person who was the truth person.
Okay.
And he was the person that was seeking love.
Yeah.
And felt that I didn't love and appreciate him in quite the right way, and then
right.
sought to, you know, go out and do all kinds of escapades with other people.
Yeah.
And that was, I just felt like that was, again, degrading. That was not anything I wanted to put up with.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time in a love-hate connection with him. And I'm sure he was in a love-hate connection with me. And the hate parts seemed stronger than the connection. The
yeah.
lessons were grand. I have no regrets, but I don't know that I'd go there again.
Well, this is the dilemma. This is why it's really heating up in 2011, 2012, and possibly 2013. Because the time with the soulmates are now becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. So if we meet one, we're kind of like destined, or rather naturally pushed, to learn the lessons hard and fast so that we can make that transition to the soulmate quicker. But the thing is, I'm not entirely sure we are really integrating those lessons fully. Because what I'm seeing around me is the twin flame is coming in, and we're still, you know, we're kind of like catching up with ourselves from some interaction we've had with the soulmate. And it's kind of like, you know, you're running towards the twin flame, and you've kind of got a bundle of things in your hands, and you're dropping things all over the place, and you're like, I'm here, you know, and you're flustered, your energy is all over the place. And da-da, straight away the alchemy begins. So,
yeah.
Poof. Yep.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I've just, a couple of things have happened to me that I find amazing given what you're laying out here.
Yeah.
One is that I feel that I have united the twin flame in myself.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know that was going to happen to me, but I personally feel that I have connected my dots really within myself. I woke up one day and I felt like, oh, what just happened to me? I felt noticeably different
yeah.
on not a particularly unusual day.
Yeah.
I felt noticeably different about myself. I couldn't kind of grasp what had happened to me. And then it came to me that my masculine and my feminine had actually married themselves
mm.
and that I didn't really need somebody from the outside to complete anything in me.
Yes.
And I didn't make that up. It was like a real visceral feeling.
Yes.
And so I went, okay, great. I'm much more powerful and much stronger and much happier
yeah.
for knowing that. Does it mean that I've given up relating? No. It just means that I'm not looking for something to be complete about
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
I'm walking around very whole no matter where I go. I take myself, you know, to places and I'm whole and complete. No matter where I am.
Absolutely, Laurie. And this is the position to enter into a twin flame relating if he or she shows up. And, you know.
I guess I'd have to want that.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we're going to stop there for a moment. That was a very pivotal point. Mm. So you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm talking to a most amazing guest, Anaya Ann Prakash, and she's talking to us about twin flame, twin souls, and it's quite amazing what she's revealing here. So she's the author of Pilgrimage to Love and also another book called Womb Wisdom, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. So if you're on the edge of your chair like I am, please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Sex and Happiness.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's V-A-L-E-R-I-E HANDLERS.com, or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent LifeWave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and my guest today is Anaya Ayan Prakash, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and we're talking about Christian sex, which is so different from what I imagined we were going to be talking about. I thought we were going to be talking about revivalist, fundamentalist Christianity. This is just my assumptions before we went into this, and that I thought we were going to be talking about the urgency to mate and procreate so that there would be more fundamentalist, revivalist Christians on the planet. And to my surprise, Anaya is talking about the Magdalene chapters and other things, other channeled writings that allegedly were channeled through Jesus, and they have to do with elevating the feminine on the planet, and something that's not that foreign to me, actually, in my years of studying and teaching Tantra. So I'm fascinated now, and I guess where we left the last segment was about saying to me that this is actually a perfect time for my twin flame to show up, and I had a little reaction to that. You know, like, what? I guess I'd have to want that. So say more about that, would you? Like, what if somebody had already gone through many iterations of being with soulmates,
yes,
and then they were, what you say, ripe to enter into or to actually discover and find their twin flame, what would that, you know, you said a little before that it wouldn't be exactly lovey-dovey. So what would that be like, and how many people do you know who have that, you know, or do you know any?
Yes, you know, in fact, absolutely. I have to say at this stage, it is the ladies that lead this revolution, simply because we are mostly magnetic energy. And what we have to do, if this is something you listeners are interested in, it's the women that starts this initiation off. And she starts to work deeply on herself, going through these issues, similar to what you just experienced, Laurie, that feeling of, oh, I got to want him to show up. The more that she starts to tune in to the other half of her soul, the beloved, the twin flame, call it what you will, her magnetic field will literally start to draw him towards her. So it is, and this is something I absolutely stand by, the feminine leads and initiates this experience. It doesn't really happen. The masculine doesn't, he doesn't even feel the impulse to begin such an initiation. And B, he wouldn't really know how, because it's not his polarity. That's not his job. His job is to be drawn. His energy is electric, and he gets magnetized towards his other soul half.
It must be in my life right now, right up there in my life, because my experience is that what you've talked about, I know quite a few, like, super powerful women on the planet who are doing exactly what you're saying, whether they know consciously that they're doing it or not.
Yes.
And at the same time, the men that they're meeting, like, are resisting.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much resistance,
yes,
in the masculine.
Yes. and there will that, be, Laurie. There will be. This is a big task. You know, the masculine energy. We just have to, and I'm not talking about men and women here, because
no, I understand.
Yeah, the masculine energy. We just have to look at how it is operating on the planet today. We have Syria. We have the U.S. economy. We have recently riots in London. We can see so clearly the resistance. So when our dear beloved in the male form turns up, this is what we're going to face. This is kind of what I see this as, the last holdout, the last holding on to the patriarchal system.
It's interesting that you say that. I mean, I just see it, and I see it everywhere. I just see the ego.
Yeah.
I see the ego, the masculine aspect of ego. I actually just see it as death. I hate to be so morose about it, but I see it as death. I see it as limiting.
Yes.
No possibility, holding on for dear life, clinging to an image which doesn't serve. Sad. And taking so long. There are some amazingly juicy, powerful women out there who have so much to share and who have so much compassion. Like, it wouldn't even be too painful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be painful, but it wouldn't be that painful.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a transition with ease and grace.
Yeah.
And yet, what I see is a struggle, a different sort of a struggle going on in my world. How many people have to die that way, at their own hands, because they're so stubborn to hold on. People are so stubborn to hold on to their ego.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking of both men and women here.
Yes.
I'm speaking of the masculine aspect of people that just simply will not let go, will not take the teaching, will not take the lessons that they pay for.
I also feel that deep in the psyche of both genders, there's the memories of, like, Atlantis. That was another very powerful patriarchal system that went horribly, tragically, and terrifyingly wrong. Went really, really wrong. And with ancient Egypt, it was the other way around. It was a time of the matriarchy, again, which went horribly and horrendously wrong. And I feel that the feminine carries that absolute distrust of power, the abuse of power from the times of Atlantis. And the masculine, he carries the absolute distrust of the sense of the matriarch completely consuming him, absorbing his identity until he no longer exists. And that is the great terror. That is the great fear that we ever so cleverly mask when we come together in modern day relationships.
When we meet at a bar.
Right, that's right. And you know, I'm so clued in on this now, you know, that I can sniff it out. I can sniff when those big fears are starting to arise.
Here's the thing, I guess this is the thing I want to say. You know, I've known, for example, in Tantra, that there are a lot of men who embrace the feminine and do surrender to a certain extent to the teachings and the rituals and the beauty and magic of surrendering to the divine feminine and then actually helping the divine feminine come out more, you know, be more empowered.
Yeah.
There are those amongst tantrikas that I know who have accomplished this and are up to this.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole nother set of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a set of stuff like the men become emasculated, like
they're
too woo-woo, wishy-washy female.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't, someone grows their hair, I don't even care if they grow their hair out. But I'm talking about men who, they don't have any balls, really.
Exactly. Too subservient.
Yeah, too subservient.
I found that
nobody.
One. Yes.
Yeah, no one I know wants that. Yeah. No women that I know want that.
Yeah.
They want someone to bring it.
Yes.
They want John Wayne combined with consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's one polarity that I see that happens.
Absolutely.
And then the other polarity that I see that happens is that there's a lot of people going around and they don't want any, I want to say this in a sort of politically correct way, but I don't know if there is any way to do that.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a new brand of irresponsible sexuality going on in also my community, that where no one is committed to anyone.
Oh,
everyone
okay.
is just out to get as much sex as they can again, which, you know,
yeah.
I remember those days from sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
So now there's people with a consciousness, and it seems that they're still not exercising
yes.
what the rightness, and I don't like that word,
yeah.
but the actual things they know.
Yeah.
So that's where I have questions about this. And we're on a precipice right now, but we're going to stop here for a second.
Okay.
I'm Laurie Handlers. This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm talking to Anaya Ayan Prakash. And I'm really getting an education from her, and she and me, we're having a great communion about this topic, what is Christian sex? So we'll be right back. She's going to tell us about her books, where you can find out more if you're somebody who's inspired by this conversation. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm speaking with Anaya Ayan Prakash today about Christian sex, and I'm getting my eyes opened hugely, and I'm being pleasantly surprised by everything she's saying, and then, of course, scared, too. So we just left off with the big struggle between, it seems to me, the struggle between the divine masculine and the divine feminine. Now, can you speak to me a little bit about same-sex couples, people who are attracted, and they have a attraction for others who are their same gender?
Okay. Well, yes, I've looked into this as well because my background is also fashion and music. So I have a lot of friends who are gay and having same-sex relationships. Now, again, I found some information, and this I feel in my heart. So whatever I read, I always kind of like run it through me, through my body, to feel, you know, how I'm responding.
Yeah, that's a good test. It's a litmus test
that's
for
right,
you.
That's right. And I understand that twin flame relationships can also be same-sex relationships. Now, what happens, this is what I understand, that when souls are created, they can be mostly 85, 90% of the time, 50-50, masculine and feminine energy. But like all cellular manifestations, you get a handful that are slightly different. This is the natural world. This is the creation as we know it. And some of these souls can be predominantly feminine, therefore they will split into two feminine halves, or they can be predominantly masculine and split into two masculine halves. And when I feel that in my body, I hear the voice, yes, Aho, that is the truth. Amen. And again, I know this is a very anti-Christian statement, but inside of me, in my humanity, And I have seen same-sex coupling, and my God, the love there is gloriously present. So who are we to deny that exquisite love that's being experienced?
So, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. I might get egged in the street,
surprised.
But I'm glad I said that too.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. Well, you know that at least 100,000 people are going to hear this worldwide, so some people may not like it, but I tend to think that my listeners find me and my show because they want to learn and they want to open.
Yeah.
I don't think that people who want to close down listen to my show, although some people may stumble upon it and not like what you said, and I really don't care. I'm happy with what you said.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Of course, I had to ask you that question.
Yes.
I want to jump ahead and ask you about the books,
okay.
But it sounds like there's a huge heating up and an unknown that we all have to go into in coupling and in finding our way with who may be the biggest lesson of our lives.
Yes.
My question is, does it work out? You know, can I give people the good news? It's going to work out.
Well,
not Hollywood style, but you know.
Eventually it will work out because this is the other half of your soul. And the journey cannot be completed in its entirety. Of course, we can go into a state of wholeness, which you have beautifully explained and shared with us, Laurie. You know, so we feel that exquisite wholeness in ourselves. But there's more.
It's been a really long time since my heart has been broken.
Yeah.
But it's also been a really long time since I let anyone that close to me.
Yes.
And it's because most people that approach me are not my right one or something. I mean, you know, they have different people have different aspects of love for me. And, of course, I take some, but there's not anyone that's stepped up to the plate yet who I feel is playing on the same level that I'm playing on. And that may just be, that may be the weight, but I don't care if I find it or I don't find it. I would love life.
Yes.
So it's like what I'm just coursing through life, having a great time, like really a great time now because I'm not really looking.
Yeah. But I have a feeling I could make a little prediction here.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you're psychic.
Not psychic, sensitive. I'm just very sensitive to nature and to the energies, especially, you know, there's a beautiful rapport between us, Laurie. And so, I don't call myself psychic, but I can sensitively pick up on what we're experiencing. And I have a feeling something could happen by the end of this year.
Great.
For you.
Well,
for you.
I'm saying great, and then I'm going, oops, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You know, I have to be honest about it. The thing is, I have a lot to accomplish on this planet.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to let myself get distracted from the things I already know I have to get accomplished. And if something comes in that adds to the growth and development of myself as a productive person getting a message out there, which is similar to yours, then I will go with it. But if something comes in and wants to distract me, and get into some drama with me about whatever, I'm not home for that. I'm walking right away because I have major messages to deliver. That's my litmus test.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I would like to give you the glorious good news that the authentic twin flame is there to absolutely merge into surrendering of the greatest service on earth. It is not about having a lovely marriage and 2.4 kids and a lovely home. No, the two of you will be impassioned to serve something greater than your individual selves. That again,
wonderful.
That is the test. You know, if a man meets you and says, Laurie, let's do this, sister, let's give it everything, then you can go, woohoo, twin flame.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Such great news, Anaya. Thank you. Well, tell us, we're coming down to the end of the hour, and I want to ask you about the books. What is Pilgrimage of Love? Why did you write it, and could you kind of encapsulate that for us?
Pilgrimage of Love is my own incredibly intimate, honest, tender, and hilarious story of embarking on such a journey. Mm. Now, I met a very beloved, beloved man in this pilgrimage of love. At the time, I absolutely felt he was my twin flame. We separated, and immediately he became my soulmate. But since the separation, which we have never fully embraced, we have always kept the communication open and loving. At this moment, I cannot say what he is, whether I'm going to call him soulmate or twin flame. All I know is there is not another on this planet I could love more. And I know if I was to define what he is, and a bit like you, Laurie, I know I would put the wheels of the universe in motion, and I'm not sure I quite want to do that just yet, if you know what I mean. But
he's
eternal. He is eternal. There is nothing I would not do for this glorious soul. He has moved and shaped and opened and stretched and dangled me off the edge of a cliff. There is no other that could have done that. I could have done that with.
It's wonderful the way you describe it. I mean, most people just describe things as, yeah, he drove me crazy.
Yeah, he did. He totally did. But the love lives on. The love lives
wonderful.
On. I often call
That's
him
wonderful.
A wild angel that has no business being human.
And then the womb wisdom book,
womb
that's
wisdom.
A different...
Yes, this was more of a how-to book, because we went on this whole sacred union journey together. So this is this is like a tantric practice that you do for 28 days, so a full lunar cycle. And you open up what we call the energetic gates of the womb, starting from the opening of the yoni or the vagina, all the way up into the absolute deepest space of the womb. So it's a little bit like a mini chakra system, like we have in yoga.
Sure.
So
sure.
Yeah.
Sounds a little like sex magic.
I don't like the word magic.
Okay, good. Got
yes,
it.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. It's the ritual of sacred union. So it's like, okay, we all hear of this idea, sacred union, but do we actually know how? Do we know the process? Do we know the techniques, the practices? Do we actually know how to unify sexually? Now, womb wisdom really is only dealing with the sexuality aspects.
I love it.
But there
it's
is
great.
So much more. Obviously, the hearts need to unify, the throats need to unify, all the luminescent bodies, they need to unify. But the first step is sexuality. And as you know, there's a lot of work to be done in that arena.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, how can people get your books?
You can find them everywhere, online. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, can't remember. Everywhere. You just have
to
Google
it. And your website?
The website is pilgrimageoflove.com.
Pilgrimageoflove.com.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spell that. Pilgrimage of Love, P-I-L-G-R-I-M-A-G-E, of, O-F, love, L-O-V-E.com. You can go there to her website, to Anaya's website, and find out more about what she's working on. Now, you have a U.S. tour. I know that somewhere you're in Canada right now.
Right.
And how long is this tour going to be going
Three
on for?
Months as I come down the West Coast.
Oh, wow, that's fabulous.
I know, yes. Very exciting.
So the next few months, people can catch you. Give me a few cities that you're stopping in.
Okay, Portland, Ashland, Mount Shasta, San Francisco, Nevada City, Ojai, and then finally Hawaii.
I wish you were coming to Phoenix.
Me too.
Yeah, well, next time
we'll
figure that out. And where do you reside?
In England, just outside
London. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful to know that. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was very eye-opening and lovely. I mean, just lovely. Your energy is wonderful. So it was fun for me to be with you. We really had a great connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Laurie.
So you're welcome so much. And everyone out there, thank you for listening today. I want to thank my sponsors. Of course, my new sponsor, Zestra, a botanical oil compound that helps women receive sexual satisfaction in a whole new way. I want to thank my sister, Valerie Handlers, for being my sponsor. And you can find out more about LifeWave Patches, which change the whole way that you experience pain or energy, and you get things for your bodies without taking pills internally along your acupuncture meridians. So go to ValerieHandlers.com. And then, of course, HormoneNurse.com. Lori Phillips, find out about HCG and find out about bioidentical hormones. If you're somebody that needs testosterone or progesterone or estrogen in your body and don't want to endanger yourself with things that are produced in laboratories that have to do with animal substances. So go there and find out more. And of course, Ladybug Eco-Friendly Pest Control from West Palm Beach. Thank you, too, for being my sponsor. Next time, we'll be talking about slow sex. So tune in to Sex and Happiness. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-